The Katra Podcast, conversations for the curious, essential knowledge simplified. Your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Katra AI.
Welcome back to the deep dive. Today we're pulling back the curtain on something huge, something vital, but often, well, invisible.
You could say that again.
We're talking about civil engineering. We're basing our discussion on some really insightful work by David Muir Wood, especially his book, Civil Engineering, Systems, Sustainability, and Society, and a very short introduction.
It really is the hidden framework, the invisible backbone holding up our modern world. I mean, think about it for a second.
Yeah.
The solid ground you're standing on, hopefully solid anyway, the clean water from your tap, the bridge you drove over this morning, it's all civil engineering.
Right. And our goal today is really to get into Wood's main idea. He argues pretty strongly that civil engineering isn't just, you know, building stuff.
No, not at all. It's this critical link between scientific knowledge and, well, how society actually functions and progresses. It's a massive field involving this constant, tricky balance, technical skill, environmental care, social impact. It's all in there.
And Wood is a fantastic guide for this. He's a distinguished professor, loads of experience, both academic and practical. But his specialty is fascinating, geotechnical engineering.
Okay, what exactly does that entail? Soil.
Pretty much soil mechanics, foundations.
Yeah.
Basically, understanding the ground everything is built on. So he literally comes at civilization from the ground up. It gives him a unique perspective.
That sounds very specific. Does focusing so much on the earth, on the soil, change how he views the big stuff? Like, you know, skyscrapers or massive bridges compared to maybe a structural engineer?
Yeah, absolutely. It's a fundamental shift. Because he understands, perhaps better than most, that the ground itself is often the most complex, most unpredictable part of any project. He's great at explaining really complex things, from how tiny soil particles behave to, like, huge tunneling projects. And crucially, he sees civil engineering not as separate boxes, water here, transport there, but as one interconnected system.
Systems thinking.
Exactly. Systems thinking is key to his whole approach. Everything's connected.
Okay, so let's maybe start with the classic definition. The field was sort of formally recognized back in 1828, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Defining civil engineering as the art of directing the great sources of power in nature for the use and convenience of man.
And that definition came about specifically to separate it from military engineering. Building things for society, not for warfare.
Creating versus destroying.
Precisely. But Wood's point is that today the job is way more complex than that 1828 definition suggests. It's about applied problem solving on a huge scale. Think urbanization, climate change, resource shortages.
All the big challenges.
All the big ones. And civil engineering is right at the heart of addressing them sustainably.
Which brings in those trade-offs you mentioned. It's never simple, is it? You're always weighing things up. Cost versus safety is the obvious one, but also
environment versus function. Speed versus long-term impact. Public need versus private profit. It's constant.
That tension is just built into the job.
It defines the profession.
Yeah.
Every major infrastructure decision involves these ethical dimensions. Engineers are constantly trying to balance competing demands, money, politics, public opinion, and, you know, the laws of physics.
If you look back historically, you can really see how the field evolved. Like the Romans, their aqueducts, roads, incredible stuff.
Masterpieces of durability.
But built mostly on practical knowledge, right? Accumulated experience, trial and error passed down, not so much formal science yet.
Right. The big shift, the move towards science, really happens in the 18th century. And this is where a figure like John Smeaton becomes really important.
Smeaton, Eddystone Lighthouse.
That's the one.
Yeah.
When he rebuilt it, he didn't just copy old methods. He used rigorous experiments, tested materials. He actually developed hydraulic cement that could set underwater through careful testing.
Wow.
That moment, applying the scientific method to understand materials and why things fail, that's really the birth of civil engineering as we know it today, and applied science.
And that scientific approach paved the way for what you might call the heroic age. People like Thomas Telford, Isambard Kingdom Brunel.
Yeah, the giants. Telford with his roads and canals, Brunel with the railways, tunnels, bridges. These weren't just structures. They were the machinery that powered the Industrial Revolution. They literally changed the face of the planet.
But like you said earlier, underneath all those amazing structures
is the ground, often treacherous ground. Which brings us back to Wood's area, geotechnics. It's the field people often forget about, but it's absolutely vital. And it took a surprisingly long time, really until the 20th century, for science to properly tackle soil.
With Carl Terzaghi.
Carl Terzaghi, exactly, the father of modern soil mechanics. He brought real scientific rigor to understanding how soil behaves under load.
Because soil isn't like steel or concrete, is it? You can't just look up its properties in a table.
Not at all. Wood describes it as a natural, variable, and often unpredictable material. You need more than just formulas. You need judgment, experience, interpretation.
And if you get it wrong?
Well, the consequences can be dramatic. Wood uses the Leaning Tower of Pisa as a prime example, not just as a funny tourist spot, but as a serious long-term lesson.
A lesson in what exactly? Bad foundations.
It's a profound lesson in soil settlement, what engineers call consolidation. The ground under the tower, soft clays and silts, wasn't strong enough and compressed unevenly under the weight.
Ah, so it squeezed the water out, basically?
Exactly. Over decades and centuries, the tower tilted because the ground itself was changing. It's this massive, visible reminder that the ground isn't just a passive platform. It's an active part of the system you have to understand.
That's fascinating. And it also highlights how much of this isn't about grand monuments, but about basic survival, basic well-being, like water.
Oh, absolutely. Water engineering is fundamental. We often forget that civil engineering is, at its core, a public health discipline.
You mean like sanitation systems?
Precisely. Think about Joseph Bazalgette's sewer system for 19th century London. Before Bazalgette, London was ravaged by cholera outbreaks from contaminated water.
Right. The Thames was basically an open sewer.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
And deadly. Bazalgette's massive network of tunnels and pumping stations intercepted the sewage, carried it downstream, away from the drinking water intakes. It was an incredible feat of engineering.
And the impact.
It effectively eradicated cholera in London. Save countless lives, probably the single biggest public health intervention in the city's history, achieved entirely through civil engineering.
So we've got the hidden foundations, the vital water systems. Let's talk about the structures we do see, bridges, buildings. There's that elegant balance of forces, isn't there? Tension and compression.
Yeah, using materials suited for each. Steel is great in tension. Think suspension bridge cables. Stone, concrete, they excel in compression, like in arches or columns. But understanding those limits, that often comes the hard way.
Through failure.
Unfortunately, yes. Wood calls failures unplanned full-scale experiments. They're painful, sometimes tragic, but they force the profession to learn and advance. Safety standards almost always get tightened after a major failure.
The classic example everyone learns about must be the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. Galloping Gertie.
Yes, 1940. The footage is just unbelievable, isn't it? The bridge twisting and tearing itself apart in the wind.
And it wasn't even a particularly strong wind, was it? It wasn't about the sheer force.
No, it's about dynamics, aerodynamic flutter. The wind caused the bridge deck to oscillate, twist, and build up energy until it just ripped itself apart. It revealed a whole area of physics aerodynamics that engineers hadn't fully appreciated for bridge design.
A terrifying lesson.
It completely changed how long-span bridges were designed and tested. You couldn't just think about static weight anymore. You had to consider dynamic forces, how the structure interacts with wind.
That idea of interaction, of dynamics, it leads right into the modern way of thinking, doesn't it? Systems thinking.
Exactly. Because modern civil engineers aren't just building isolated objects anymore. A bridge isn't just a bridge. It's part of a transportation network. A power plant is part of an energy grid.
Everything's connected.
Deeply interconnected. And the failure of one piece can have knock-on effects across the whole system. Think about a major power outage in a city. It doesn't just turn the lights off.
No, it affects traffic lights, hospitals, communications, finance, everything.
Which is why the focus now is so much on resilience and redundancy.
Oh, okay. Can you break those down simply? Resilience and redundancy.
Sure. Resilience is about the system's ability to absorb a shock, whether it's a storm, a cyber attack, whatever, and bounce back quickly with minimal disruption.
Okay. And redundancy.
Redundancy is building in backup capacity. So if one part fails, another part can take over, preventing total collapse, like having two parallel water mains instead of one giant one. If one breaks,
the city doesn't run dry while you fix it.
Exactly. It buys you time and stability.
And focusing on these complex aging systems, it means a lot of the work isn't actually building brand new things, is it?
That's a huge point Wood makes. So much of the infrastructure we rely on was built decades ago in the mid-20th century. Boom. It's getting old.
Reaching the end of its design life.
Precisely. So a massive challenge now and for the future is maintenance, renewal, retrofitting, keeping the existing system safe and functional.
Which isn't always as glamorous or politically popular as cutting a ribbon on something new.
Not at all. but it's arguably more important for keeping society running. Neglecting maintenance is incredibly risky in the long run.
And that brings us neatly to maybe the biggest guiding principle today, sustainability.
Yeah, the wood is very clear on this. Sustainability isn't just a buzzword or an optional extra for civil engineers anymore. It has to be absolutely central.
Meaning what, in practice? Looking beyond just the construction phase.
Absolutely. It means thinking about the entire life cycle of a project. Where do the materials come from? What's their environmental impact? How much energy will this building or bridge consume over its lifetime? What happens at the end of its life?
Thinking about waste, recyclability.
All of it. And considering the long-term consequences of decisions made today, it's about designing for the future, not just for immediate needs.
So designing for the world we want to leave behind.
That's a good way to put it. And of course, climate change is a massive driver here. Engineers are on the front lines.
In what way? Both causing it and fixing it.
Well, historically, construction is very carbon intensive. So mitigation is key. Finding low carbon materials, designing energy efficient buildings, integrating renewable energy sources into the grid.
And the other side is adaptation.
Yes, dealing with the impacts that are already happening or are unavoidable. Building better flood defenses, making infrastructure resilient to extreme weather, managing water resources in drought prone areas. It's a huge responsibility.
Okay, let's try and pull out some key takeaways from Wood's perspective. I really like that idea you mentioned earlier that the best engineering is often invisible.
Right. It just works. You don't notice it. The water flows, the bridge stands, the lights come on. You only really notice infrastructure when it fails.
Which highlights the incredible value of all that hidden complexity, all that constant maintenance that keeps things stable.
Definitely. The smooth functioning of everyday life rests on it.
Another point I found powerful was his idea that modern engineers need to be part scientist, part artist.
Explain that a bit more.
Well, needing the rigorous analysis, the data, the scientific method, but also needing creativity, imagination to come up with genuinely new solutions for unprecedented problems like climate change or megalicities.
That's a great point. It's not just applying formulas. It's about innovative design, finding elegant solutions within complex constraints. That blend of rigor and imagination.
So for someone listening to this who isn't an engineer, what's the application? How can we use these ideas?
I think the biggest takeaway is adopting that engineering mindset, as Wood calls it. Applying systems thinking to problems in your own life or work.
How so?
Well, when you face a complex decision, maybe planning a big project at work or even managing complex family logistics, think about the whole system. How do the different parts interact? What are the potential points of failure?
Where's the risk? Is there any backup, any redundancy?
Exactly. Don't just focus on the immediate cost or the obvious solution. Think about the long-term implications, the life cycle. Is the cheap option now going to cost you more down the road if it fails?
That kind of holistic risk assessment. It's useful everywhere.
Absolutely. And it also helps you become a more informed citizen. The next time there's a debate in your community about a big infrastructure project, a new road, upgrading the water system, building flood defenses.
Don't just react to the headline cost or the immediate convenience.
Right. Ask the tougher questions. How resilient is this design? What's the redundancy? What are the real long-term maintenance costs? Is it truly sustainable?
Understanding that the best solution is rarely the cheapest or simplest up front. It involves those difficult trade-offs we talked about.
Exactly. Appreciate the complexity engineers grapple with. They're trying to optimize systems that serve millions, balancing safety, cost, environment, politics. It's incredibly challenging.
So ultimately, civil engineering isn't just about concrete and steel. It's this continuous, active effort to shape our physical world.
To create a built environment that's safe, fair, and sustainable for everyone. It's a quiet, often unseen commitment to the future that we all rely on every single day.
A powerful reminder of the invisible structures holding our world together. See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.